Well, are you excited this morning? Are you excited this morning? Hallelujah. You are a part of the upside down kingdom. You are a part of the kingdom of God, and God is doing great things in the midst of his people. And surely you and I understand the depth of what's going on in the world today, and we know that for this reason we have been born into the world. Hallelujah. We all have a purpose. We are all established in the world from a historical standpoint. We all have a reason and a purpose. You and I could have been born 100 years ago or 1,000 years ago, but we weren't. We were born in this generation. We were born in this season of world history. And it is because God has a plan. And when we realize that nothing is by accident or by chance, and that there is a designer behind the creation of the world, and every detail has been minutely figured and planned for and established, it helps us to realize that we all have a purpose. We are created for such a time as this, to do the very things that you and I have been gifted and skilled to do. God has given us life so that we may live representing the kingdom of God. He knew that you and I would surrender our hearts and our lives to him, and that we would be faithful servants of the Most High God, and that we would be able to accomplish the very things that he has assigned us or given us the purpose to do. And that is what is so awesome about serving the Lord, about living our lives for God. It can be quite challenging when the people around you are living upside down and you're trying to live right side up. And so, because the world is upside down and you are trying to live right side up, as we are in the world, it appears that we are upside down and the world is right side up. And so that makes things a little more challenging. And we have been talking about God being our sole proprietor. He is the one who owns us. We belong to him. And because of that, we know that it's not our will, but his will that needs to be done. We have come to that understanding. We have reconciled that truth in our hearts. And so now we say, God, we will not do what we feel like we want to do, but we will do what you command us to do. We will live according to your word and according to your direction. And because of our love for God, we obey him. We follow him. We keep his commandments. That is what it means to have an understanding of God being your sole proprietor. And this month, we wrap up the year talking about God being the builder of the house. Being the builder of the house. And so we are a part of this work that God is in the process of developing and cultivating and doing. And as a result, we all have a role to play in what it is that God is doing. And so I would like to use as a theme verse for today, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 4, which says, "For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God." The builder of all things is God. And so God is the builder of everything, because in order to get to the root understanding of the very thing that's being built, it always goes back to the creator, the one who had the vision for it before any other thing had taken place, any other manifestation was made, it always goes back to the designer, the visionary. And that is who God is. And so, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Yes. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And I ask God that you would enable us, Lord, to operate in the giftings and the abilities and in the ways that you have established us to function in alignment and in accordance to your word, that your will may be done in this generation. I pray, God, that you would help us to fulfill the very plan of God, the very design of the Lord, that it would come to pass, that it would come to fruition, that it would indeed be established. Help us to hear the words of the Lord, the Spirit of God. Speak through me, Lord, that the words that I speak would not be my own, but that which has come from you. God, let us hear what the Spirit is saying and not just the words of a man. I pray, God, that you would breathe life into us and you would enable us so that we might be all the more effective as we live our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. One of the most challenging things for people is to understand that they have a purpose for existing. That it's not just random or by chance. It literally is a design plan of God that you and I are alive together. It is a design plan of God that you and I, we are partners in the development of this portion of the kingdom of God on earth, that we would be able to establish the principles and the things of God so that humanity in this sector of the world would be able to have a beacon of light and hope in the midst of them, so that those who live in proximity to us, whether it be their ability to attend directly and to have direct encounters with us as we disperse into the community and the area around us and the places that we work, or whether it's online, or whether, you know, it's in some other external outreach operation that is birthed in this house. God has orchestrated it all. It is the plan of God. It is amazing when you think about your own life. I know it is for me. I would have never in a million years guessed that this is where I would be in 2020 in December. I would have never have guessed this 10 years ago. Well, maybe 10, but certainly not 15, certainly not 20, certainly not 25 or 30. I never would have thought of that when I was in school and they said, where do you see yourself in 5 years? You ever get to ask that question? I never really had a good answer for that. But now I do. The answer is wherever God puts me. Hallelujah. And we just don't know. And if we can trust God, if we can look to him, then we could never imagine what God is going to do, because he could do abundantly more than we could ever ask or imagine. And so we have to trust that the builder, the designer, the creator has a plan that he is working out. He knows the day that I would be born. He knows the number of hairs on my head. Hallelujah. Leona told me I don't have any hairs on my head. And I was trying to convince her. I really do. They're just really tiny. But I couldn't convince her. And so God knows. He knows everything about us. He knows all the details. And it's part of the plan. He knows your strengths, your weaknesses. He knows what it is that you are able to do. He knows what you can't do. And he knows what you won't do. Hallelujah. He knows it all, and he's factored it in. He's factored it into your life plan. And as a result, there has been given us a certain amount of time on earth to do what he has called us to do. And God will see his plan through, and it will be accomplished. The very things in which God has established us to do. And so, as we are looking at the principles of God, I would like to use as a theme today, who is your builder? Who is your builder? Well, every house that is being built, every building, certainly here in the Northeast, needs good insulation. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. That's right. You do. Why? Because it gets cold outside. And because it gets cold outside, you need an insulator to buffer you so that the temperature that's being regulated on the inside can be sustained against the cold on the outside. And so you and I, we are living our lives as those who have been established by God. We have been built by God. God created us. And you and I need good insulation. We need good insulation from the cold world. We need lights that work. We need power in our house. We need to be able to have what we need so that we can have the peace of God to relax in our house. Because when you're out in the world, there is great challenges and difficulties that we all must face and endure. And so, as a result, you and I must have good insulation. Otherwise, the cold that's on the outside will enter into you on the inside. And you will become the same temperature on the inside as it is on the outside. And you and I do not want to have that happen to us. We don't want to live the type of Christian life where we are thinking and operating and existing the same way the world is thinking and operating and existing. We represent the kingdom of God. And as representatives and ambassadors of the kingdom of God, we need good insulation. This is why we are able to do what we do. And this is why we must persevere in doing what we're doing. They tell me that you can tell if your attic has good insulation in the winter or not if, when it snows, you look at your roof. If you go out to the street and look at the roof of your house, if the snow stays on your roof, then your attic is well insulated and you know that your heat is not escaping up through the roof. And so you need to have enough insulation in your attic to make sure that the heat is not going up into the attic space and warming the space and therefore heating the roof. Hallelujah. You see, we need good insulation in our lives, because we need to be able to be established in God so that we don't find ourselves being cooled off in ways that God does not want us to be cooled off. And we don't want to overheat in ways that God has not called us to overheat. And so many people go through life and the challenges and the difficulties they face cause them to become overheated and they blow their top. Hallelujah. They lose the sense of their own identity because they have grabbed hold of it from the media that they take in. Media has always been designed to influence the mind, to cause the mind to think a certain way. That was its purpose from the very beginning. The days of radio, the days of television, and then we saw cable, and we see now internet. All of these mechanisms of communicating media to people, it is designed to change the mind. And as each of these mediums progressed in our culture, in our society, the ability of it to impact the entire world at once has now been established. And so the world can now be of one mind. And it's very similar to what the Word of God says will take place. In fact, it already has taken place at various times in the history of the world. We know that this mindset or this operation or way has already happened and taken place. Certainly when the Tower of Babel was built, God says the people were of one mind and they were of one purpose and nothing was impossible for them. And so you and I are able to understand this principle. And so I would like to take a look here in Joshua 24 and says, beginning in verse 1, then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for the heads and their judges and their officers, and they presented themselves before God. Not before Joshua, but before God. And it says, Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, from ancient times your fathers lived beyond the river, namely Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And so Joshua is speaking as the ambassador, as the spokesman for God. It says the people were gathered before God, but it was Joshua whom God was speaking through to the people. And whenever we gather together as the people of God to hear the word of God, it's not about the person who God is using to speak. It is about the fact that we as the people being purchased of God come before him, and it is he that we are listening for, listening to. And so this principle is a very important one for us to understand as we live through this generation. Verse 3 says, then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac. And to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau, and to Esau I gave Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt. And so here is God giving us the history of his people, how his people were established and how they got to the place that they were in. You and I must never forget where we come from. We must never forget the process that God has brought us through. Every life experience, everything that you have endured, all of your challenges, all of your difficulties, all of your hardships, all of your opposition, all of the things that you faced and that you managed and that you dealt with, not only for you, but for your parents and your grandparents and your great-grandparents and your history all the way back. God had a purpose in all of this so that you might be the person that you are today. God has established you. He has rooted you and he has grounded you. He has molded you. He has shaped you because he is creating you for a purpose. He is making you to be who and what you need to be to deal with the things you are facing right now. And at every juncture of our lives, God uses our past as a fortifying element and factor that would enable us to be the right person for the right situation at the right time, and that is now. Hallelujah. God knows what he's doing. He knows who you are. He knows what you are all about. God is building. He is building you and I. The builder always begins with a plan. The builder always has an idea, a vision. In fact, the Word of God says, without a vision, the people perish. There is nothing worse than working with a person who's supposed to be leading and they have no vision. You don't know where they're going. They don't know where they're going. And everybody's just kind of going. Well, I tell you, you don't want to live that kind of life. You don't want to operate in that kind of place. You want to be established where everyone knows what it is that we are doing. We're on one accord. We're of one mind. We're of one purpose. That is why the Word of God says the vision speaks. And where there is no vision, the people perish. Isn't that what it says? And life began with a vision. God envisioned all of this. And in that, the very details of life. And even in those details, God established them. God established humanity. God established all the creation that we see that took place in Genesis. And when it got to man, he gave more specific details. And he breathed life into him. And God then even established each person to have an identity. And then he chose these people, Abraham, out of the household of Abraham, to establish himself, to prove himself, because ultimately it was about one man, Jesus. And so God had to establish a lineage that would ultimately lead to Jesus. And that is what we see here, this story of this lineage of Christ that is being passed down. He says, to Isaac, I gave Jacob and Esau, and to Esau, I gave Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt. It is God who gives. God has given you your children. He has given you your parents. Were given to you and you given to them. It is all established in God. It is all part of the plan of God. It's not by accident. You're not some nobody, some random happen chance. You are a genuine entity of God, molded and shaped in his image. You are created and he designed you to be exactly who you are. And so you are someone who God has a purpose for. And as we live our lives, we must operate according to godly principles. The principles in which God established and designed us to work and operate in. And so in verse 5, it goes on and it says, then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt by what I did in its midst. And afterward, I brought you out. Don't you love this? This is very helpful in today's society because it says, then I sent Moses and Aaron. God sent Moses and Aaron, and then he plagued Egypt. Now, when the plagues impacted all of Egypt, the only people who were insulated were the people of God. And I would submit to you, whenever God is doing something in the world and it impacts the world, he always has a remnant of people that he insulates. You and I need to be a part of that remnant because the Word of God says that it is those who keep his commandments that become a part of the remnant. And so I can't complain that the mud is dirty. I cannot complain that the sour milk smells. I cannot complain that the bad people are doing bad things because that's what they do by design. That's what they are. That's who they have become. And then when you're operating outside of God, evil only increases in those atmospheres, in those places. Evil will progressively become more and more evil the more there is the less and less of God. The more God, the more glorious things of good things of God. The more you pull away from God or withdraw from God, the more evil will come to you. Evil begets evil. And I will assure you that the Spirit of God draws and compels the Spirit of God. That is why Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. It is the presence, it is the glory, it is the anointing of the Spirit of God. And when you're abiding in God, when you're abiding in His Word, when you're applying His truths in your life, God's power comes to you. His strength comes to you. The lights come on. There is rejuvenation that takes place. You are raised up in the glory of God. Hallelujah. I have a hard time understanding dead Christians. I just have a hard time understanding it because it just means that there's something wrong. You keep turning on the switch, but the power just never seems to kick in. And that makes you wonder, is it even plugged in? Does it have batteries in it? Did they pay the electric bill? What is it that there is no power in this life? Saints of God, when you are abiding in God, He breathes life into you. He enables you to have love and joy and peace. All of the attributes of God begin to stir. Even when you're upset, even when you're angry, it doesn't last. It melts away. And because you are filled with the love of God, you are well insulated, so the cold can't get to you. There is a furnace that is burning within, the fire of God. Oh, it's stirring on the inside. And there you are with chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Hallelujah. Why? Because the goodness of God, you're in His presence. You're able to experience Him in the fullness of His glory. So even when you're offended, you're able to let it wash away because of the goodness of the Lord. And you know that God is at work in the midst of all these things. And so God sent even the plagues, and He brought them through them. And no matter what challenge comes upon the world, God always, always, always brings His people through. Hallelujah. God brings His people through. Oh, hallelujah. 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 So we can rejoice in the Lord always and even again. Hallelujah. They said there's more coronavirus that's coming again. I say we can rejoice again then. Hallelujah. We rejoice the first time. We will rejoice the second time. And if it comes a third time, we will rejoice again. Hallelujah. Why? Because we know God is able to sustain His people. And when you draw nigh to Him, He will draw nigh to you. He will. Don't blame God when you don't draw nigh. You can't blame God if you're not walking in obedience to His commandments. If you're not being insulated and the cold is coming in, then all you need to do is get closer to the heat source. You make your way to the fireplace, to the furnace. You make sure you have oil in your tank. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, God is raising up His people. He is building us for such a time as this so that you and I can be the light on the hill. God will bring you through. He will bring you out. Verse 6 says, I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea, and Egypt pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. These are all the elements of war, the things that are represented here, the chariots and the horsemen. They pursued people who were on foot, old people and children, people struggling, pulling carts and wagons, over a million of them. But no matter how fast the chariots and the horses were, they couldn't outrun God. Hallelujah. And saints of God, no matter how challenging and difficult things are in the world, they can't outrun God. God will always sustain His people. He will always make a way. And guess what? In the words of a very wise woman, I repeat them again, if you die, you die. Hallelujah. And then you're in glory. Hallelujah. You end up a winner. No matter what, your losing is actually a win. Hallelujah. Why is that? Because the world is upside down. Losers win because it's a kingdom matter. And God has established you and I to understand this principle that even though it seems like you're being chased down by horses and chariots, they will be drowned in the Red Sea. God will make a way for you to pass through. It says, but when they cried out to the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your own eyes saw what I did in Egypt. And you lived in the wilderness for a long time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It may seem like you're in the wilderness and that you've been there for a long time. But the awesome thing about God is that he's reminding you of your story. This is your story. You have been through great challenges and difficulties. If you think about the things your parents endured and the challenges and the hardships that they faced on so many different levels and facets of life, and even the people before then, think about how you could have been a Pioneer Day person. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You might have had to live out in the wilderness and living with people that, oh, I don't want to go camping. Oh, no, ooh, no. Well, what if your life was camping? Hallelujah. But thanks be to God. God knew, he says, yeah, they're not going to like camping. I better put them in the 21st century. You know, they're not really big on having to cut wood and, you know, go out and build their own houses out of trees and do random things and hunt and have to cook and trap their own food. Yeah, you know what? We better put them just a little further down the road. Yeah, we'll give them the cell phone and tablet era. I think that's about as much as they can handle. They really couldn't handle, you know. Some people had to skip even TV and radio. They didn't even have the patience to wait and listen to a radio story. Said, you know what, we better get them in a place where they can, you know, they need to have a little more. And God knows exactly what we need. He knows and he understands and he imparts what we need so that we can do and be what God has called us to do and be. He's gifted us, he's enabled us. Every skill you have has been divinely purposed in you by God. And those skills and those gifts and those abilities are for the purpose of advancing the kingdom of God. It is what God is building. He is building his kingdom through you and me. We each play a part in each other's lives. You can't do it alone. You see, a hammer had to have a designer, didn't it? Somebody had to design a hammer. You know that's true because there's a gazillion different kinds of hammers. There's hammers for all kinds of different things. And if you use the wrong one for the wrong thing, you can have a lot of problems. And God is the same way. He designs people exactly the way they are because when you mix them together, it creates a certain environment, a certain atmosphere. It gives his kingdom the ability to do and accomplish more things because it's not relying on one person. Hallelujah. And God says, when we work together, we can accomplish great and mighty things. We can do all that God has called us to do. And that's what God is doing. He is establishing households, lineages that have giftings and abilities. And each family is expert in the things that they do because God crafted them to be so. And so when we work together, we are able to build as the designer has so established. And that is what the beauty of God really is in the kingdom of God. When each piece realizes, dude, I'm a hammer, not a screwdriver. Why are you trying to use me like a hammer? Have you ever taken a screwdriver, turned it around, and started whacking on something with the back of it? Right? Why are you doing that? Because you don't have a hammer. Isn't that right? And so you're using the screwdriver as a hammer. And a lot of times that's what we do. We do it in our families. We do it in the midst of our friends and in the church. And we do it on our jobs and our workplaces. When we think we don't have something, we just take what we have and repurpose it. And that does not always fare well. That does not always go well. What we ought to do is ask the builder for the right tool. And when you have the right tool, you can do the job that much more efficiently, that much more effectively. And so it says, when they cried out to the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your own eyes saw what I did in Egypt. And you lived in the wilderness for a long time. In other words, you didn't die while running from the Egyptians. You lived a long life. Now, was it these people that lived? No, it was their parents and their grandparents by this time that lived in the wilderness. These people were not the ones who actually were running from the Egyptians. These are the ones that were born in the wilderness, and they came through, and even those who were born after they came into the promised land. And these are the people that Joshua is talking to. And so when God is speaking to us, he is talking about not just us as individuals, but he's talking about the us representing everyone in our lineage that caused us to have life right now. God brought all of that together so that you and I can have life right now, so that we can do what God has called us to do, so that we can represent the kingdom of God. And God is building on what we are doing now so that generations ahead after us will have something else to stand on. They too will have a witness and a testimony. And God will talk about how he raised us up to establish this house, how he raised us up so that we might be the witnesses to the world that he has called us to be. You and I are ministering life, health, and strength to people right now. And those people will bring forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. And God will tell that story. And he will tell of all that you and I have done and give us credit for it, even though it was not us, but it was the fact that God was able to work through us, and the people in the next generation or several generations to come had something to stand on because we were vessels of the Spirit of God. You and I have a purpose. We have a plan. There is a design. God wants to use us. And so it says, then I brought you into the land of the Amorites who live beyond the Jordan, and they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, and they took possession of their land when I destroyed them before you. And then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and fought against Israel, and he sent and summoned Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I was not willing to listen to Balaam. So he had to bless you, and I delivered you from his hand. Hallelujah. This, saints of God, ought to make you shout. This ought to make you excited, because it says what God has blessed, no one can curse. Hallelujah. And when God has blessed you, you cannot be cursed, because God is not willing to listen. Hallelujah. God is not willing to listen. Don't believe everything somebody says. Don't believe every thought or idea that comes into your head or your mind. You hold on to what God has said. You hold on to what the Word of God says. Saints of God, I tell you, God is not willing to listen to everything. Hallelujah. It doesn't say he didn't hear. It says he was not willing to listen. Hallelujah. And so he had to bless him instead of cursing him. And so you and I have been created by God for a purpose. And because of that, we are blessed in what we are doing when we align ourselves to the will and the word and the ways of God. He goes on in verse 11. He says, you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho, and the citizens of Jericho fought against you, and the Amorite and the Perizzite and the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Girgashite, the Hivite and the Jebusite. Good Lord, hallelujah. Thus I gave them into your hands. You were able to have victory over them. I tell you, saints of God, you know, sometimes you don't look for trouble, but trouble comes after you. Have you ever had that happen? You just found yourself in trouble. All of a sudden, you're going about doing what God has called you to do. You're faithful. You're doing what God has said. You're trusting him, and you're looking to God. And all of a sudden, here comes an Amorite. Here comes a Perizzite. All of a sudden, goodness, a Canaanite shows up. Then a Hittite or a Girgashite, a Hivite and a Jebusite. My goodness, it seems like every time you turn around, here comes another shite. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, you're finding yourself had a battle. But God says, I gave them into your hand. Hallelujah. I gave them into your hand. You don't have to worry, saints of God. All you need is faith in God. All you need is to trust in the Lord. All you need is to look to him. All you need is to know that he is able to see you through every challenge, every opposition, and you can have the peace of God that passes all understanding. You know that God is able, and not only is he able, he is willing. So trust him and watch God work. Watch God do what God does. And so he says, then I sent the hornet before you, and it drove out the two kings of the Amorites from before you, but not by your sword or your bow. Hallelujah. You see, God says, don't try to figure out how I'm gonna do it. You just watch me work. You just stay behind me. You just follow me, and I will make sure that you overcome. You stay faithful to the word. You stay true to God. You hold on and know that he is able to overcome. And when you are holding on and looking to God, God will send the hornet. Hallelujah. I know we've run from the hornet, but it's good when the hornet goes before you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have you ever prayed that prayer? Lord, send the hornets after him. Hallelujah. Sometimes you just need the hornets to come. You need them to go in your behalf, and you need to know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got hornets in my backyard. Hallelujah. By my deck. And you know, I used to try to kill them, spray them down, all kind of stuff. Man, it was a battle. You spray them over here, they move over there. You spray them over there, and they move over here. Finally, I just said, you know what? I'm just tired of chasing the hornet. I'm tired of trying to get rid of them. I said, God, I'm just going to let them be a blessing somehow. Hallelujah. And I left them there. And you know, I don't bother the hornets, and they don't bother me. Hallelujah. And there they are. They're there. Then I realized, you know what? The bees are a good thing for my wife's garden, and that was probably why they didn't want to move too far away. And so me and the hornets and the bees or whatever those things, creatures are, we got a thing. It's all right. It's all right. I don't mess with them. I've learned my lesson. I remember we had a little hornet's nest with those little yellow jackets. You ever see those little tiny bees? Oh, yeah, they're evil. Oh, they're evil. You got to call the man on them. I'm sorry, but yeah, those are the ones you got. I remember we had one. They lived in the ground. They dig a hole in the ground somehow, and they build a nest. And I was walking through, and I stepped right near it. Man, they came up out of there. And they were coming from everywhere. I was like, I'm doing everything to try to. Man, I walked away and realized I had been stung several times. You guys probably remember when we were in the old building, my whole face blew up. Hallelujah. Whole face blew up. I was like, woo. Oh, you should see those pictures. I know you remember the finger, but I mean, goodness, my face looked worse than the finger. But I tell you, when God sends the hornets, I say, go get them. Go get them. As long as they're going this way and not this way, we're good. Hallelujah. And I pray that God would send the hornets. Sometimes you need God to go before you, to send the hornets, because you can't do battle against the Amorites on your own. You can't defeat them. God is the only one who can overcome and give you victory. You don't need your own sword and your own bow. Let the Lord fight your battles. Let God make the way for you. In verse 13, he says, I gave you a land in which you had not labored, and cities which you had not built, and you have lived in them. You are eating of vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. God will provide for his people. And God will, actually, the word of God says that the treasures of the sinner are stored up for the righteous. Hallelujah. You know, it don't get any better than that. Hallelujah. And he goes on and he says, verse 14, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods of your fathers, the gods your father, which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Every generation has to make a choice. Every generation has to choose whether or not they're going to serve the Lord or whether they're going to serve the God of the Hittites, the Jebusites, and all the other ites that are coming along the way. You and I have to train up our children. We have to tell them our story. We have to pass on the testimony of the Lord. This is why it's so important to know your own testimony and to share it. The more you share your testimony, the more God can add to your story. But people who don't share their story or don't share their testimony of what God is doing, then God only does things in their lives out of the kindness and the faithfulness of his heart. But the more you do in faith to God and honor of the Lord, the more God will do for you. The more you are faithful to him, the more he is faithful to you. The more you seek him and you pursue him, the more God gives you something to rejoice over. Hallelujah. I tell you, we all have to do battle against all those sights that come along. But I can tell you, the more you remember God and you look to him and you call upon his name, God will give you victory. I pray that you know how to call upon the name of the Lord. I pray that you know how to ask of God that he might go before you. That is what God is working out in our lives. And it says, if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. I pray that this is what you are saying at your house today. This is what God is building. He is building a story so that you can have this as your testimony. He is building your life and your history for this very witness and purpose. Hebrews 3:1 says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. He was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also in all his house. And so God is saying that Jesus was faithful. In the same way Moses had a purpose and brought the people out of Egypt and into the promised land, or certainly through the wilderness, and then Joshua brought them from the wilderness into the promised land, Jesus also was faithful to bring life to us, to bring redemption to humanity. Jesus also had a plan and a purpose, and he fulfilled his calling, just like Moses also did. It says, for he has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, by just as much as the builder of the house has more honor than the house. The saints of God, don't get caught up in the things that you do, in your own abilities, in your own skill set, or even in the possessions that you have, or the blessings that have been poured out to you or established in your life. Know that the one who gave you and who built you and established you in those things is the greater. He is the one that we ought to be giving all the glory to. The creator, the visionary, the one who is at the root of all that is taking place. you and I are tools in the master's hands. We are the clay, and he is the potter. It is his vision and his design, and he is working and building in the midst of our lives. He says, for every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. No matter how it looks, you hold on to this reality, to this fact that God has got all these things in his hands. He is working all of these things out. He is causing all these things to come together so that you might give him glory. Now, Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken later. You see, God gives us an experience in life so that it can be testified about later, so that it can be remembered later. It will build people up. It will encourage people. It will enable them to realize how God has been faithful. When you realize that God has been faithful to your family, to your household, that God has been making provision, it ought to cause you to give God the glory, to glorify the name of the Lord. He says, but Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. Hallelujah. Oh, this is one of those verses that's a mouthful, but I can summarize it by saying that if you're in Christ, then God will enable you to hold fast. You can have confidence, and you will be able to boast in the hope. That's your testimony. That's your story, that God has been faithful all the way to the end. You can hold on and trust in God. Hallelujah. And so it goes on in Haggai chapter 1, verse 7. It says, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains, bring wood and rebuild the temple, that I may be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. He goes on and he says, you look for much, but behold, it comes to little. When you bring it home, I blow it away. Why, declares the Lord of hosts? Because of my house, which lies desolate, while each of you runs to his own house. Therefore, because of you, the sky has withheld its dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. I called for a drought on the land, on the mountains, on the grain, on the new wine, on the oil, on what the ground produces, on men, on cattle, and on all the labor of your hands. And what is Haggai declaring? He is declaring to the people of Israel that God is saying that they were going through a lot of things because they neglected the house of God, because they neglected the principles of God. They had forgotten the ways of the Lord because they had been consumed with the mentalities of the people of the world around them. And so when you and I get lost in the ways of the world, in the mindset or the mentality of the world, then greater issues and problems arise in our life. It says that God called for a drought on the land. It was the word of God that brought the drought on the mountains and on the grain. In other words, there was no water. Water often represents the word of God, the cleansing of God, the Spirit of God's cleansing ability. And it goes on, and the grain represents the word of truth. It represents the food for the soul, the things that enable you to have faith in God, to be drawn closer to God, to actually have trust in God. It's the very thing that includes the testimony of the Lord. No one wants to lose their testimony or the stories of God's faithfulness and his provision. And then the new wine represents the redemptive work of God. God is able to cleanse and to heal and to give new life. And God says all of that is taken away. And then it says on the oil, on what the ground produces. And we know that the oil represents God's anointing. Hallelujah. the presence of God, the move of God in the midst of the people. Oh, I tell you, it's a sad day when these things are taken away. And it's a sad day when the very things that we attempt to do. Have you ever known people that no matter what they do, they can't seem to get ahead? They always seem to always have one problem after the next. They always seem to, every time they get a job, they can't keep the job. Then they lose the job. Then they can't pay their bills. Then they got one problem after the next. And it seems like they just can't prosper. All of the labor of their hands just does not accomplish what it needs to accomplish. I tell you, that's when you have a drought in your life. That is when you are in a place where you need to be reconciled to God. You need to change the way you live. You need to change the way you think. You need to change the way you operate and call upon the Lord. You need to come to God. You need to look to Him, and He will make a way, and He will cause all things to work together for good because you love Him and are called according to His purpose. Luke 6:46, Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" He says, "Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like." Hallelujah. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood occurred, the torrent burst against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. Hallelujah. I love this because it says that the storms of life are coming. They are going to happen. The question is, how well has your house been built? How well are you established in God? How much faith do you have? Are you easily shaken? Do things offend you and throw you off course? Do you find yourself struggling because of what happens in the world around you, whether it's coronavirus or whether it's other social matters or whether it is problems in the church, things that somebody says? I am always amazed at how people get offended by one thing that happens in their life, whether it's one thing somebody says or one thing that somebody did, or even if it's two things or three things. They have a host of testimonies, a host of story, of witness of how God has delivered them and brought them through and established and did mighty acts and deeds and works in the midst of the very same place they're now offended over. I just don't understand that. But I know it is demonic and it is of a satanic nature. And it is the work of the enemy. And when Satan is at work in your life, you need to be able to recognize it. But one of the tactics of Satan is he is the great deceiver. And so he is able to deceive even the believer from understanding that he is the one speaking and influencing their life, and it is not the Lord. And the Bible says in the last days, this will become more and more prominent, that the people of God will fall away because they are believing that they're hearing from God when it's really Satan that is imitating God. And if you don't know the truths of God, if your house is not established with a strong foundation, when the flood comes, which is the water of the word coming against you, when you find yourself in a place where the earthquakes are shaking and all of these things are taking place, the challenges and the difficulties of life, when they come, you need to be able to stand strong. You need to be able to represent the kingdom of God and the principles of God, no matter what comes your way. God is faithful to those who are faithful to him. He goes on and he says, "But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house on the ground without any foundation, and the torrent burst against it, and immediately it collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great." This is what people's lives are like. I don't know about you, but I don't want to build a house with no foundation. I don't want to be a person who is easily blown over or thrown off course or caused to quit or give up simply because I had a challenging experience or I had an experience that may not have been what I would like it to be. I need to be able to hold on and trust in the Lord. I need to be able to be faithful to God and his word and persevere and destroy the works of darkness. I need to be able to stand even in the midst of challenges and great difficulty. Proverbs 24:27 says, prepare your work outside and make it ready for yourself in the field. Afterwards, then build your house. Hallelujah. In other words, make sure you plan and you think about all that you are doing. Make sure that you have the resources and the right tools and the things you need so that you can build your house, so you can build effectively. Remember that God is the builder. Remember that you are building, but God is building you. Whatever you're doing, you're building. And whatever you're building, God is in the midst of it. And when you are building and you are representing God, or you are of the kingdom of God, then let God work through you. Let God mold you. Let him shape you. Let him make a way for you. Let him prepare you. Let him impart the vision to you so that you can overcome and understand that you are not in this alone, but it is the Lord who goes before you. God is using every aspect of your life, every challenge. Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. God is the builder. God is the one who is at work in your life and in my life. And he already knows everything that's going to happen, but it's part of his plan. And he is using these things in order to accomplish his will and his purposes. He knows who gives up. He knows who perseveres. He knows who quits, and he knows who holds on. He knows who is able to make it through, and he knows those who will be lost. God is able, and he has already factored all these things into his plan. And so, for every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Hallelujah. God is the builder of your house. Let the Lord be the builder of your house, of your life. You can have confidence in God. Know that he is faithful to the very end, and he is with you always. Who is your builder? I pray that you have good insulation, that you are able to be guarded against the mentalities of this world, and that you are able to stand in the principles of the kingdom of God, because God is the builder of your house. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Yes, Lord, that you love me. Hey,
when I call, is it true that you are thinking of me? How you love me, Lord, it's amazing. Hey, I am a friend of God. Yeah. I am a friend of God.
And he is using your life as a witness, as a testimony. You are part of a greater story. You are the continuation of the work of God. God started the work in your life, in my life, a long time ago. And we are a part of this great move of God. And as God is working throughout the generations of history, he has a remnant of people that he preserves through the challenges and the difficulties. And there are going to be opposition. There will be challenges and difficulties that come our way. But we have to learn how to hold on. We have to learn how to recognize Satan and his divisive ways and plans to impact our mind so that we are brought to a place where we forget that it is God who is doing something great in the midst of us, and that it is the hand of God who makes a way when it seems impossible. You see, God is faithful. He has been faithful to you. He's been faithful to me. We can trust him. We can look to Him. I pray that you're telling your story today. Share your life story. Make sure your children know your testimony. Make sure they know your story. Make sure they know how God saved you, or how He saved, maybe He saved your mother and your grandmother and the people in your history. They ought to know your story, because that helps them to have faith in God. And once they know that they are not of this world, but they are of the kingdom of God, then they too will have confidence in God into the future. And I pray that you are training up the children in the way that they should go, so that when they're old, they will not depart from it. It is a promise of God. It is a divine principle that God has established, and that what He says is true, and it will come to pass. God will make a way, saints of God. God is the builder. Who is your builder? I pray that it is God. I pray that it's not the media. I pray that it is not the people that are around you in the culture around you. I pray that it is not those who are operating outside of biblical principles and divine calls and ways of God, but that you are holding on to the word of truth and to the principles of God, so that you can see the manifestations of God, the provisions of God, and the amazing works of the glory of God as they are manifested all around you, as you are brought through the wilderness and into the light of Christ, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Well, Father, we thank you for your word today. And we ask, oh God, that you would move in the midst of our lives. Fill us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Enable us to have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, that we would be a people filled with faith in God, with trust in God, knowing that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, that God has preserved us as a remnant of the Spirit of God, that we would be able to overcome every strategy, every operation, every plan of the wicked one, that the glory of the Lord would continue to open doors that no man can shut, that He would bring down the mountains, that we would walk over them and raise up the valley, that we would walk on level ground, that when we go through the waters, they will not drown us or overtake us, and when we go through the fire, we will not be consumed. We will be able to have victory through Christ our Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, and all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.